Today's episode of the From Idea to Impact podcast is a bit unique. We're bringing to you highlights from our first season, the greatest hits of a dozen conversations. We were privileged to talk to a diverse group of changemakers, philanthropy experts, and advocates over this last year. Our goal was to create a space where they could share their personal journeys and experiences, and in so doing, talk about their work, successes, and struggles, and their point of view of what lies ahead. As we look to another season, we will highlight more leaders across the field who are exploring new ideas for creating impact. Despite the many challenges we faced in 2020 and 2021, many of our guests are looking forward with a sense of hope. Like this clip from Edgar Villanueva.
I feel very optimistic. I think in this past year, if there is any silver lining, which feels kind of not a right thing to say, but I think the COVID pandemic, the economic fallout, the sort of heightened awareness of racial injustice in this country, in some ways pushed all of us to lean into our collective humanity in some way. And of course, not everybody was impacted, but most people were, regardless of if you have privilege, if you have money. We all felt the pinch of this pandemic. And for me, at least in my lifetime, this was the closest to systems fail that I think I ever experienced, right? Where I actually didn't know if we were going to be okay a couple of times. It was really frightening. And in these times of crisis, it unfortunately took this, but I think it did sort of bring an awareness of our interdependency on each other. We need each other in order to get out of this mess. We saw over the past 6 months, foundations kind of putting aside all the process or loopholes or, you know, the things that have been in place, you know, logic models to move money quickly to respond to the pandemic. We saw folks stepping up in new ways to support the movement for Black lives, to support Native communities around COVID response. I think we're in a new place.
That optimism and a sense of coming together to build a better future was echoed by Marcus Walton.
We moved from a place of knowing to now sharing an unknown. Now we are all in the unknown together. Ambiguity completes the cycle, every stage, right? And that may be a blessing in disguise because now we have a shared experience.
This optimism extended outside the philanthropic and advocacy fields into the service and restaurant industry. We were able to speak to Chef Tanya Holland, who shared about how the upcoming generation of workers and advocates are giving her hope.
For the first time in, you know, my career and my life, I just feel hopeful that this change is sustainable, you know, to really just alter this systemic racism and sexism. And I mean, I'm hopeful. As far as, our industry, I feel like there's a new awareness that people are realizing who's been left out. And then also the younger generation is, they're really fighting for it. They're like, nope, I will not shut up.
Cynthia Brunig picked up this thread of generational momentum and expanded upon it.
One thing we're looking at an awful lot is Gen Z, who the kids that were born after 1995, because they're different. And I think that they're just kind of the tip of the iceberg of Gen Z is the most racially and ethnically diverse of any other generation we've seen in America. And in some areas already we're seeing that the majority are non-white, and it's expected nationwide that we will be by 2026. So they're on track to be the best educated generation that we've seen. And they're also much more familiar and comfortable using gender neutral pronouns. All of that has a lot of impact. So in terms of what is going to happen. I also predict, because they're so much more politically involved, they're pushing back against injustice in a way that gives me such hope. They're raising their voices. I believe we're going to see more of them entering the nonprofit sector.
Lisa Ratliff spoke to us about her own experience with parenthood and how it helped encourage some of the intentional community building we're seeing right now across sectors.
It just, it brought me back to my own childhood and I don't know, just how special and important it is for the people around you to pour their heart and soul into you. And so I decided I've got to do something different, and I found nonprofit. I found Habitat for Humanity. I was working at Habitat for Humanity in Americus, Georgia, and that exposed me to a world of giving and a life of service.
Nicole Lynn Lewis reminded us not to overlook the keepers and caretakers of the next generation, and that we must all be brought along and raised up.
So I often call student parents the invisible population, because I think that we have made really great strides in many ways with different student groups. But we don't talk about student parents enough and intersectionality between student parents and other groups. We know they're more likely to be students of color. They're more likely to be low-income students. They're more likely to be first-generation students. And we definitely talk about those groups, but we don't talk about when there's intersectionality with parenting. And it's such an important piece of the puzzle. We know that parenting college students have higher GPAs than their peers, but they're less likely to graduate.
Kelly King Jackson challenged us to ground ourselves in the difficult but worthwhile reality we find ourselves in, and reminded us persistence and honesty is the best path forward.
I have to have a lot of humility and be really honest about how difficult it is to cultivate a partnership with a funder, right? It's difficult to tell a funder the truth if you're afraid that there will be things held against you or some unknown ramification. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do our best to be better in our grant making. And so that's what we do. Like, we really just say, like, we don't have it all figured out. We don't have all the answers.
As we look ahead to the future of philanthropy, we will look to incredible leaders like Namaka Agbo, who spoke of capitalizing on the current moment to push us all towards a more equitable financial future.
One of the things that gives me hope is that in the face of the continuing deployment of the stimulus funds and the infrastructure bill that has just been announced, philanthropy has a really unique opportunity to do a lot of the capacity building and readiness on the ground that helps to support Black and Brown communities to be at the forefront of securing these federal dollars that help to make possible so much of what they have been calling for. And so if philanthropy can be the first investors, the first supporters, we then make it possible for these communities that oftentimes get overlooked, like we saw in the case of the PPP loans, to have the capacity to secure the resources.
Charisse Conanan-Johnson and Edgar Villanueva both spoke to us about the transformative power of wealth, and Charisse shared how the field is grappling with both profit and impact.
We need people like you and I in this field where we sit at that intersection of purpose, right, and profit, in order to agitate, in order to try and dismantle the way in which power has been misused to perpetuate some of the racism and some of the bad of capitalism. And for all intents and purposes, I think capitalism is a good thing when it's used for the right purposes. And so I think we have to stop having conversation and not, you know, out there in the world around, let's put these people in one box over here in the nonprofit space. Let's put these people in a box over here in the business space. How can we work together? If the goal is justice, if the goal is impact and the greater good, and I think obviously the last year has pressed upon this very issue in a real way, and CEOs questioning and demanding, how can we do both, be good and do well? And I don't think those things are mutually exclusive.
Dr. Jackie Bouvier-Copeland also spoke of the benefits of Black ownership and funding equity intentionally.
Different institutions having ownership of it and a willingness to implement it worldwide is critical to the success of our funding equity vision. So I would hope in 10 to 15 years that we have been a force for funding equity, first and foremost.
Representation, in finance or otherwise, is so vital to the next generation moving us closer to equity. Tony Tijerino spoke of the importance of representation in institutions such as NASA.
We're going beyond affecting our own community and affecting our own country and even affecting our own world, that they're going beyond it. And so we are very excited about having your daughter and my daughter look at these role models and having examples of what can be accomplished and impacted.
Before we wrap, let me share thanks with everyone for listening and hope you'll continue to do so into our next season. I'll end our recap with a quote by Marcus Walton, whose enlightening conversation invited us to think about leadership in a different way and to model community and intention in our every interaction.
In order for us to get to joy and be in authentic community with each other, in order for us to acknowledge each other's shared humanity and establish a shared vision for what it means to thrive as a collective body, we have to unpack the things that separate us from each other.